Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Pick a Side Podcast. We are here live after some important game twos. Magic, Cavaliers, Knicks, Sixers, Lakers, Nuggets. We got to talk about the most important game that happened. The biggest game had the most impressive finish. That's the Nuggets and Lakers. And then next, we'll talk about Knicks and Sixers, because last episode, we had a lot of Knicks fans come after me, come after the fandom, because we only gave 1 minute to them. But we're going to start off with the Lakers and Nuggets, then get on in depth about the Knicks and their win. How you doing, fellas? How you doing, Drew?
I hate that you guys are making me talk right now, to be honest with you. I'm here because, like Riv mentioned, I have a job to do. There's no part of me that wants to be here right now. To everyone that's here watching, I know you're here watching for one reason and one reason only. I appreciate your guys' support. This is as bad as it gets. 10 straight L's in a row, and I'm taking a piss. I have my headphone in, and all I hear is Joel screaming, LeBron choked. And it's unfortunate that that's going to be the story of this game, because he was so dominant in that fourth. 12 points. The defender slips. He has to shoot that. He'd been shooting the three ball extremely well in the fourth. He had no choice but to shoot that. Shorts it. And as soon as he missed that three, I could have bet my life that we were going to lose that game. Brilliant on Malone, not calling a timeout. You have momentum there. The crowd's amped. You trust your guys to go one-on-one. Jamal Murray just simply being better. And it sucks because Jamal Murray was so mediocre today. And so mediocre in game one. But when the biggest moment shined, when the biggest moment was called on him, he shined. I got to give him his respect. This is as bad as it gets. I haven't felt this bad in such a long time. I want to say the last time I felt this way was when LeBron scored 51 and we lost game one of that 2018 finals. This sucks because, right, we legitimately have a chance, or we had a chance to be up 2-0 in this series, and we're really down 0-2. But we're going to be all right. We played some really great basketball. We were winded. But this sucks terribly. This really does hurt. I'm not even going to front you.
This is such a demoralizing loss. Man, up by 20 points at one point, blowing a 20-point lead. In the third quarter, Jokic is getting going, is getting more aggressive. I will say, in the fourth quarter, those Jokic-less minutes, the Nuggets stayed afloat, and they kind of were, you know, chipping away at the lead a little bit. Miraculous play after miraculous play. There's something. There's a special being out there that they don't want the Lakers to win these games, because you have Aaron Gordon saving the ball from out of bounds that lands perfectly in MPJ's hands. He hits a three-point shot. Jamal Murray back-to-back daggers on Anthony Davis, then the game winner. Well, on LeBron James, then the game winner on Anthony Davis. Man. This was a special comeback, and when I watch Jokic, 27, 20, and 10, we're watching an all-time player, an all-time offensive peak. When I watch Jamal Murray, we're watching one of the best co-stars in the history of the game. I don't care about the regular season stuff. He's a playoff riser. He's a playoff superstar. He struggled in this game, but when it mattered the most, he hit the biggest shots in this game. I got to credit LeBron James and the Lakers. And I got to credit Anthony Davis in the first half, willing the Lakers on his back. In the fourth quarter, I love the aggressiveness from LeBron James. You finally got a good D-Lo game in that first half. In the second half, he was making some really dumb decisions. But the final shot of the game, LeBron James is wide open. Final shot for the Lakers. He misses. LeChoke. He misses that shot. It's wide open. He got 40,000 points. You can't give me three more in that moment. Man, and 40,000 is a meaningless at this point. This is the shot that matters. This three-point shot. And you miss this shot? This is LeChoke, man. The Lakers,
you're a goofy.
The Lakers are getting swept.
I hate to say it,
this was
a
demoralizing loss. The Lakers are getting swept. Getting swept.
You're goofy. You're better than that. You're acting goofy. Whatever.
He choked. Final shot of the game. Jamal Murray, he was not shooting well the entire game, but when it mattered, he came to play. He's more clutch than LeBron, and he proved it tonight.
Those, you want to go?
LeChoke.
That's LeBron how we're choked. Titling LeBron game choked. Two of this series.
I'd rather LeBron miss every one of his fourth quarter shots and hit the one that mattered the most than miss that final one. He choked.
That's one way to put it. We could have an actual discussion about the game. I don't know if I could put this solely on LeBron because down the stretch of this game, I thought he was amazing. Of course,
he was fucking godly.
Was he amazing on the last
3-point shot? It's tough. That's a shot that he has been making all season long at the highest clip of his career, and that's a shot that if he gets it again next game, I want him to take it because odds are he'll probably make it. But this is a demoralizing loss for the Lakers. It's not just the 20-point blown lead, but it's the Anthony Davis is almost perfect. I think at one point he was 14 of 15 from this game. He was dominating, especially in that first half. You have LeBron James, who kind of fell apart in the second half of game one, just, I think, ran out of gas in this game. He did not run out of gas in that fourth quarter. He was taking over. Everything was running through him. He was playing point guard. You had D'Angelo Russell having a huge bounce back game, one of his best playoff games of his career, if not stamped best playoff game of his career. You have Jamal Murray struggling for 3 quarters. Everything that you could have wished for if you were a Lakers fan that happens in this game that you would think leads to victory doesn't happen. I think once you go into that fourth quarter and they're able to cut that lead down to 10, I think a lot of people, me included, were looking at this saying 10-point lead just not going to be enough. You're entering the fourth quarter against the Denver Nuggets. They've been one of the best clutch teams in the NBA. And once they play the Lakers, it's like it gets turned down to rookie mode in that fourth quarter because it feels like they can't miss a lot of shots. Jamal Murray hits one of the clutcher shots of this playoff so far, the clutcher side of the playoff so far. It's a tough loss. You're going back to LA. It doesn't have to be said by me, but an absolute must win for game three and an absolute must win for game four. But the way this series is going, you could talk last season about how, you know, the rest wasn't there maybe for the Lakers. LeBron's injury, D'Angelo Russell's lack of shooting or lack of really being able to play, especially later in that series. But it just comes down to they have Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, like Joel mentions, a playoff superstar. You know, Jokic is the best player in the NBA, the best player in the world for a reason. No matter how great LeBron is, no matter how great AD is, no matter how great your role players are going to be, if you're in anything less or anything more than a 10-point lead, I feel comfortable. Anything less than a 10-point lead, it could just take 1 or 2 minutes for them to go on one of those runs, and that's what we saw tonight.
They were up 20 at one point.
And they choked.
Listen, I feel bad for Drew. I really do. I feel bad because this is back-to-back games of this Lakers team kind of like coming out on fire. You know, especially like last game they came out. I'm pretty sure they were up 12 early. You know, they were coming out. They were playing well. Same thing with this game. You saw they were dominant. I mean, AD was going. D-Lo was getting in his groove. LeBron was there. Like, defensively, they were making plays, causing turnovers. You know, the Denver was a little bit rattled, wasn't able to get in their funk offensively. Like, the Lakers were locked in. And you thought, like, when they were up 20, this was a game, like, the Lakers could make this a legit series. Then the inevitable happens. These guys, like, it's like they like to troll. And then when it's time to clutch up, they do their thing, the Joker, Jamal pick and roll, Michael Porter Jr. hit some shots, and Eric Gordon started hitting some shots. Then this offense starts to click. Jamal Murray had 14 points in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken. The Joker started to get in his groove, started to be aggressive. You watched both games be pretty much two back-to-back bad Jamal Murray games from quarters 1 to 3. You know, you watched this Lakers team defensively put a lot of good effort in guarding Jamal, making him struggle. And you can't help but that locker room is probably defeated right now. They're probably in there. The moral is low. The emotions are low. Like, you just blew a 20-point lead in the fourth. You had an opportunity to still win the game. Unfortunately, LeBron could not hit that big three. Then Jamal Murray hits the fadeaway mid-range to win the game. That's tough. Like that was mentioned, you know, you're going home. So, you know, a series, they always say a series doesn't start until somebody wins on the road. So, you have an opportunity to go home, knock out 2 wins, make it a series. But just based off how you've lost both times in Denver, which I feel like we can agree, I think the Lakers have outplayed Denver in more quarters than not.
They've been bad. Nuggets have not been good.
Yeah, when it mattered, they have.
And you're down 0-2.
Fucking ass. Ass they legitimately nuts. Have not been ass playing well. Ass
is down 0-2.
Ass has crazy. Been Jesus Christ. He has been unfucking believable. We are fucking ass. We're up 20 fucking points. They have not been good. On the road, we're playing better than them. Quarters one through three, we are better. We fucking hold.
Oh, God.
Game.
Is Mike up?
Drew, is your mic connected? You might be connected to your AirPods.
Wham. Bitch, I'm little baby.
Drew, you should connect your mic. You're crashing out.
You know, okay. We can say the Lakers for
a large amount of time. It's like the Mavs second half. Second half, the Mavs outproduced the Clippers. Same thing here. Is that what we're running with?
Listen, it's the thing.
One team didn't, they had their best players and shit.
Anthony Davis was looking like the best player in this game in the first half. He had 32 points. His last bucket came at the 7:15 mark of the third quarter. Non-existent in the second half, essentially. LeBron James, in the fourth quarter, I was begging for him to be aggressive because in the first half of the fourth quarter, he wasn't being aggressive. In the second half, he started becoming aggressive once KCP went under that screen. That first three got him going. He saw the ball go in the net, and then he started attacking Denver's defenders. Lakers had great looks. Rui had an open three-point shot that he missed. Austin Reeves had an open three-point shot that he missed. This is how the Nuggets win games. They chip away at the lead. And what I find amazing about how the Nuggets are able to chip away at leads is their composure. Notice how them coming back really wasn't on the back of three-point shooting. It was on the back of Jokic tough two-point shots, Jamal Murray two-point shots. They would hit timely threes here and there. We saw that with Michael Porter Jr. But for the most part, they're chipping away at this lead, getting twos. And I find that amazing with how Denver is able to play this level of offensive basketball without incorporating a high volume of threes in their offense. You can say all you want that, the Lakers outplayed the Nuggets, but essentially when it mattered the most, the Lakers didn't make those plays. And I understand LeBron was great in the fourth quarter. He was. But that shot, you have to hit that shot. And he missed that shot. It was an open shot. He even extended his arm. Could have been an offensive foul. And he missed the shot. It doesn't get more open than that. That ices the game right there. And you're going back to LA, Todd 1-1, and he missed the shot. He missed the shot. That was his shot to me.
Iced the game. He had fucking 13 seconds left on the clock when he let it go.
Dude, they were going to be up
it's
three.
It's really fucking insane to me that you don't ice the game there. You still have the they have a chance to score.
Yes, but that game, based on how the game was going, if you hit a three.
Fuck, bro.
If you hit a three, it's demoralized.
He was wide open.
There's no excuse for LeBron missing that. I'm not fucking – there's no excuse. He fucking shot 3 for 5 before that. He was knocking them down. Bro, it's really sad. We've outplayed them for 6 quarters.
You're a little red over there, buddy. You all right?
No, bro. I'm not fucking okay. I'm fucking angry as shit. Every game we play against them, it's the same script. Every fucking time. Every fucking time. We play better quarters 1 through 3. Quarter 4, they find a fucking way. Every time. It makes no fucking sense. And down the stretch of the game, D'Angelo Russell hit some big-time shots. I give fucking endless respect and credit to D'Angelo Russell. He came to fucking play today. Thank you for fucking saying something about AD, because how the fuck can I be critical of Anthony Davis when he was all world in the first half, but he went fucking ghost in the fourth? And there's a reason why they stopped giving him the ball, because he missed 5 straight shots. And then on top of it, bro was turning the ball over. He was shaky. He didn't know what to do. Bro, how can I be upset that I feel like I'm at a crossroads here, because AD was so fucking amazing in this first 1 through 3, but in the fourth quarter, he was essentially gone. But again, it's going to be Lichoke, right? That's what we're going to do. It's going to be on LeBron because he scored 12, but missed the game-winning shot. Not Rui wide open, who I've seen him hit that shot nonstop all season long. That wing jumper, I've seen. Yeah, nah, they're wilding. They're wild.
It's kind of crazy.
We're good.
No, I'm good.
All I've seen him do is knock down that shot. Austin Reeves is going to get a lot of slack because his offensive game has not been there in these first two games. He's had a job, and it's been clear, to play defense. And he's done a damn good job at that these first two games, because Jamal Murray has struggled. But again, he hit the game-winning shot. What the fuck else can you say about it? again, credit to him. But Lord have mercy. I mean, I feel like I need to go to the doctor. My blood pressure is so fucking high watching these Lakers Nuggets games because we have been better and we fucking fold every time.
Prediction for game three.
We win.
Oh.
Lakers up 11, Nuggets come back in the fourth.
Yeah, I mean,
we win. Yeah, good prediction, Joel. Honestly, that's the best shit you said all night. Great fucking prediction.
So you didn't like that I said LeBron choked on the final shot? He choked.
Of course I'm not going to like it.
If we're grading that last shot, is it a choke or is it not a choke? For grading that last shot.
He definitely needed to make that.
Another thing that's consistent about these games is the Energizer Bunny minutes off the bench from Christian Brown.
Mm-hmm. He played well.
I feel like whenever he comes in the game, he makes an immediate
impact. Really, he missed a couple of clutch free throws, bench. But he did. Other than that, he was damn good.
He was 6 for 8. No, 5 for 8. 10 points, plus minus is 6. You know, yeah, it's all about Lakers. Couldn't hit shots down the stretch. Austin Reeves, 9 points, 4 for 11, 1 for 5. This is the best game you're going to get all season.
I'm with Big Chuck. I want to talk about some New York Knicks basketball. We didn't give them love.
Yes, I want to talk about that as well. Because I don't know the exact stats of Jalen Brunson's first two games and what he shot.
He's shitting it up.
Jalen Brunson, game one, game two, he's not playing well. I think the Sixers are doing a good job of defending him. Kelly Oubre has done a really good job. So is Batum. Jalen Brunson has to play better. But the fact that we are winning these games and it's on the back of our role players and Jalen Brunson is not playing well, like in this game, 21 and 15 from Josh Hart. We had 19 from DiVincenzo. Bogdanovich hit some huge shots. Hartenstein, 14 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks. He had the game-winning block on Tyrese Maxey. I feel like tonight we saw two demoralizing losses. One on the back of the Lakers, blowing a double-digit lead. But then the Sixers, they were up 5 with a minute left. And Jalen Brunson hits a 3 that kind of rolls around the rim a little bit, then drops. Oh, God.
Miracle then of God.
We got a steal on the inbound. Dante misses the first 3. Hartenstein offense rebound. Passes out to Dante. Dante hits the second 3. And then on defense, Hartenstein gets that block on Tyrese Maxey. That's just a really tough way to lose for the Sixers. And it's hard to lose in that fashion and to feel like you aren't already defeated in the series because, like I mentioned, Jalen Brunson has not played well yet. And the Sixers got 30 balls from Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, and we're still not able to win this game.
This is a tough L. This is a really tough L for Philly. I know everyone's been going crazy over the non-calls more than anything. Nick Nurse had some very interesting on the sideline, the way he was trying to call a timeout, but it was kind of like a fake timeout. Like he put his hands together like he was going to call it, but he never really put a timeout together. If you're a Philly fan, man, I don't know how you do this year in and year out. You know, year in and year out, you've had these runs, you've had these playoff teams, and this was a series that you win the play-in against the Heat, you go up against New York Knicks, you come out favored in the series. I know once tip-off of game one came around, New York became favored, but when the series opened up, Philly was favored, and I think that partially had to do with, of course, Julius Randle being out. You know, if it's just Jalen Brunson, can you throw multiple bodies at him and make him uncomfortable? But it's funny because when we did our playoff previews, I said my biggest X factor is how is Nick Nurse going to be able to contain Jalen Brunson? And I think they've done a really good job. I think Jalen Brunson's missed some shots that typically he makes, especially in the regular season. But like Joel mentioned, I think the length of Philly throwing Oubre at him, I think Tyrese Maxey's done a really good job in his limited minutes as well when he's guarding Jalen Brunson. And then you have Nick Batum at times kind of guarding him off ball, face guarding him, trying to make him work as much as he can before he gets the basketball. But I think that length has really bothered Jalen Brunson. But as you mentioned, Joel, it's been the other guys for these last two games. In this game, Bogdanovich in the fourth quarter hits 2 big threes. You have Deuce McBride in game one hits 5 threes. I mean, it's been everybody but Jalen Brunson, and that has to feel great if you're a Knicks fan because when you were going into the series, it was the opposite. It was, I know Jalen Brunson is going to go out there and play like a top 10 player because that's all he's been doing the last 2 months of the season. The last 2 months, he's been playing so well. He's been in a case for top 5 in MVP, potentially being All-NBA first team. So the fact that he's had 2 of his most inefficient games of the season. Now, to be fair to Philly, they did this to him in the regular season too. I brought up the numbers on the preview that he struggled a lot against Philly in the regular season. I just thought once the playoffs came around, they'd be able to turn it on. But an absolute choke job from Philly to be up 5 points with 47 seconds left. You get to tie the series potentially 1-1. You go back to Philly. I believe they have 2 days off in between game two and game three, so Embiid would get some extra rest. You have Tyrese Maxey go crazy in the fourth quarter after he kind of struggled in quarters two and three. And to come up short in that situation when Jalen Brunson hits a ridiculous three that it was a Kawhi-esque kind of bounce on the rim. And then you have DiVincenzo miss a three, rebound, hits another three wide open. I mean, it really doesn't get more demoralized than that. Joel Embiid, after the game, said we're down 0-2. We should be up 2-0. I think we're still going to win the series. He said this with his face in his palms because he was just devastated with that L. Really tough L if you're a Philly fan. If you're a Knicks fan, you're up 2-0. You're playing with house money. All you got to do is win really one of the next two, I think, in Philly, and then you go back to game five in New York, and you like your chances.
If you would have told me before the series that the Knicks would be up 2-0, yet Maxey would have been outplaying Jalen Brunson, and Embiid would have been playing great, I would have probably looked at you like a fool. This was a big thing for my X-Factors, like Dell's mentioned. Like, what were the others going to look like for New York? Like, how were they going to respond? And they have responded in big fashion. I feel like the others have won them both back-to-back games with Hartenstein and Mitch. Back-to-back games, both playing well. You have Dante in this game. You have Josh Hart being probably their best player or their most consistent player in back-to-back games. You have Deuce, who's getting those minutes, and he's playing at a high level in those minutes. Bogdanovich last game, this game, he's getting minutes. He's contributing. Like, Jalen Brunson has not performed like an All-NBA player yet. He's been struggling with some shots. They're sending two at the ball, face guarding him. He's really been bothered by that length. And the other guys have responded. The other guys have, picked up the slack. And that's what you need from a team. When your star player is not playing great, you need those other guys to kind of step up, chip in, And that's what the Knicks team has done. And then, Tom Thibodeau has coached the hell out of this team. This team is well coached. Defensively, they're great. And, to be up 2-0 is great, especially with Jalen Brunson yet to get his stride. I don't know if he's going to find it in Philly, because this defense is really tough for him right now. But if this team continues to play like this, this is why I always said Knicks in five, man. I always believe that this team was good enough to beat Philly the way it can. I just didn't think it would be because Brunson's not playing well, but the others have showed up. As for Philly, Embiid saying they should be up 2-0. Listen, they had two tough games. Game one was definitely a winnable game. This game, they should have 100% won. But, you don't stop playing until the buzzer hits zero. And unfortunately, they did not do that. They had a couple miscues where they think Maxey got grabbed up in that same play. Nick Nurse was calling a foul. Unfortunately, they didn't get it. Plays still play on. You still have to play until the ball is dead. You still have to play until the clock hits zero, and they didn't do that. They choked. It is what it is. You have to go into Philly. You have to handle business. Maxey's going to continue to play at a high level, and Bede's going to play at a high level. You have to continue to play through the others. But Philly is in do-or-die mode now. You're down 2-0. You're going back to Philly. Jalen Brunson has yet to catch his stride. These role players are playing out of their mind. And it's insane because it could be Isaiah one night. It could be Dante. You don't know really who's going to show up for this team, but they have a plethora of guys that can just come out, perform at a high level. And that's scary for a Knicks team that's, gunning for an ECF. So for Philly, they need to be going in there with some desperation. You must win both games in Philly. Like that was mentioned, as for the Knicks, they're playing with house money. You split it 1-1, go back to New York. You're feeling comfortable. I'm feeling great about this Knicks in five thing, and I think they'll handle it in the next three games.
Knicks in five is going to be a battle for the idea that we've seen the Sixers play solid basketball, especially tonight. They definitely choked this one. I'm with you, Joel. Up 5 points with less than a minute left, 40 seconds. I mean, you just have to lock down. You can't throw the ball away there. I will say, yes, they were gripping up on Maxey's jersey for sure. I won't say that that's not true. But at the same time, you have Nick Nurse being hesitant, don't know what he's going to do, whether he calls a timeout, let the play go on. You kind of see the replay on the sideline. Shout out to our guy, Will Swanky. He goes and he shows the clip of Nick Nurse, like, not sure, calls timeout, like, pulls his hands away. I mean, at the same time, you have to be big in those moments. And you guys hit it right in the nose. The fact that Jalen Brunson is comfortably getting outplayed by Maxey, the fact that Joel Embiid has been playing like the best version of Joel Embiid that we've seen in the playoffs, probably in his career, and they're down 0-2. What you have to do is tip your fucking cap to those role players on the New York Knicks, because the game plan for the Sixers is simple. We're going to sag off Josh Hart. We're going to live and die whether he's going to knock down that three or not. And what did he do game one? He went out there and he knocked down those threes. What did he do game two? He knocked down those threes, although late did miss one. I mean, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt there where he's knocking down a majority of them. But where Brunson is going to get slack because of the efficiency tonight, I respect the fuck out of him for continuing to shoot and not stop shooting, even when you don't have it, similar to Jamal Murray, who was struggling tonight. But in the biggest moment, he stepped up to the plate, similar with Jalen Brunson. Didn't have it, still let the shot go. God was on his side in that moment where it took that extra bounce and fell in. But even on the other side, Dante DiVincenzo, he misses the first shot. Isaiah Hartenstein with the rebound of the season. With the rebound of the season. I mean, that is going to be, to me, that's the bigger part of the play. I get it. Dante hits the shot. That's really the difficult part. But for Isaiah to get in that box, to out-rebound while three guys are in that lane, and to kick out to Dante, I mean, what hustle. What a game Isaiah Hartenstein played today. That's the MVP. This was my X factor coming in. It was Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein. I wasn't anticipating an offensive masterclass out of Isaiah. He was brilliant today on that side of the ball, but defensively, I mean, what he gives you every single time he's out on the court and what he gave you today, I mean, hats off to the role players for the New York Knicks. And when your guy doesn't have it, what can your supporting cast do? And the New York Knicks arguably have the best role players in basketball, and that was on full display tonight.
The three doesn't happen without that Hartenstein rebound.
I mean, unbelievable board. Yeah. Unbelievable board. I have goosebumps thinking about it, actually.
Brunson has started out this series shooting 16 for 55. I just did the math. 16 for 55.
That's dog shit.
It's carried by a super team.
Is that the narrative of rolling with now, Dales? 29% from the field, 16 for 55. I think what's that's going to change.
Yeah, what is that Hartenstein's bag in the offseason? What are we looking at there?
Shit, I don't care. 20, man. You gotta 20 might plus? Be in that 25s. He might be in those 25s.
I don't know if you guys seen today that the Athletic released another poll of like the anonymous players poll.
Yes.
And yeah, Tom Thibodeau is the coach that most players don't want to play with anonymously.
Josh Hart took
Josh Hart played 48 minutes for 3 months straight.
A bunch of softies.
I understand it too, but at the same time, every player that is playing under Tibbs, they've gotten better. You know, Jalen Brunson elevated his game. Josh Hart, I think, took his game to another level too. Isaiah Hartenstein, Deuce McBride, Emmanuel Quickley, and I'm missing other people. They have all elevated under Tibbs. I think he is an underappreciated coach who does the most with lesser talent and sometimes lesser teams. This Knicks team is an example of a team, though, that I legitimately think that all of our role players are impactful ones that get minutes on a consistent basis. They could go to almost any other team in the NBA and be their best role player. That's how stacked we are. Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, OG Anunoby, Hartenstein, Mitchell Robinson, even Deuce McBride, all of them can go to different teams, and they will be probably their most valuable player off the bench, if not a smarter role.
Josh Hart shooting like this changes everything. Mm-hmm. Josh Hart being able to, I don't know if he's going to be able, what did he shoot today? Was he 5-for-8? He was 4-for-8 game one. I don't know exactly what he was today, but he was efficient. Today.
This is his Caleb Martin arc.
Yeah, I mean, this is Josh Hart being able to shoot at a 50% clip through two games is one of the biggest reasons why the Knicks are up 2-0 in this series. And when you talk about these role players, because when you originally made that trade for the Trailblazers, I remember, was it John who said, who had a comment about the shooting? Because he was around like 33%, I want to say, in Portland. Then he came over, he started off really well. But we weren't really sure if he was going to keep up.
Yeah.
But he's been a pretty solid shooter, if I want to say, or at least league average throughout this regular season. Then two games through the playoffs. I mean, it's probably his two best game stretch when you, you know, consider the circumstances.
Listen, it's a great two-game start where we're up 2-0, but I don't think the series is over just yet. I hope you're right, Riv, and we can close this out in five. This was a demoralizing loss. But it's not over yet. You know, we took care of home court. Now we got to steal one on the road and come back. Up 3-1 at the Garden.
Stand up. Come on, have some. You a Knicks fan, man? You up 2-0? Have some excitement, man. Go in there and talk your shit,
Drew. I don't want to make this. I don't want to make this night any worse. But I would love to hear just a 30-second answer on Zach Wilson to the Broncos.
Today was legitimately an all-time bad day. It was all-time bad.
If there was one guy that could get the best out of Zach, it's who, God. Drew.
That's really it. That's really the only thing I'm holding on to. I'm really overwhelmed. 2024 man. Today fucking sucks, bro. We really put the cherry on top of Jamal Murray hitting that buzzer beater, because when I had my phone in my hand and I opened up Twitter to a flooding of notifications from the Pick Aside Truthfuls, who just love to send me information. I'm really appreciative of it. Sending me that Zach Wilson was traded to the Denver Broncos. It was like I got shot in the chest. But again, if there's anyone that can get the best out of him, it's the quarterback guru. It's one of the best offensive minds in the game. It's Sean Payton. I don't know, man. I'm worried.
God bless.
I hope that this means Brock.
Who
Bowers
wins the quarterback the battle? Table.
Is Brock
Jared Stidham?
Probably
Zach
Jared
Wilson.
Probably
Ben DiNucci.
Our quarterback room is dog shit, bro. I mean, it's absolutely
probably the worst in the league.
I don't know if you remember this stat, Dells, but Zach Wilson, when he gets the ball out under 2.5 seconds,
really good
quarterback.
Listen,
Sean Payton, like
he's going to get the best play caller he's ever had in his career. He's going to have the best offensive line that he's had in his career. Shit, definitely not the best weapons. I don't know what we're going to do in that regard, but I will say I'm keeping my mind open because I have no other option.
We play you guys this year. Are we going to get a Zach Wilson revenge
again?
Game in MetLife?
We play again?
We do.
Oh, in MetLife. Wow. Yo, this is like 3 years running that we play. That's kind of crazy.
We're here.
We're not going to talk about the Magic and Cavaliers game. It's a boring series.
I get to leave.
It's a boring series. Dells, one final question for you.
That's just sad. We're doing an injustice to what we get hired to do, man. That's embarrassing.
To the Magic and Cavaliers.
So we better not.
If you want to talk about it, talk about it.
We better not talk about Miami and Boston. I swear to God,
no,
if we talk about that,
I don't want to talk about them either.
I'm gonna vomit. Some idiots here picked Magic in 7. I feel like we should talk about it.
Well,
some people did it. Some people chose that route.
Well, the Cavs just took care of home court advantage. That's all.
Oh, God, they look like they might not win a game, man. Like
I'm begging them to score 90 points.
Their offense is fucking dog shit.
What's the question, Joel?
I don't even think the Cavaliers are playing that well, honestly.
No, offensively they're not. But the thing is, the Magic can't score.
I know.
They're shooting 16% from three.
So the question for you, Dells, is that I know that you get a lot of toxic backlash when it comes to this one. One particular player, whenever he does something wrong or he has a miscue. So I have this question for you. If Jason Tatum had that fourth quarter that LeBron had and missed that shot in the end, would we be saying he choked?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Who's sitting here saying LeBron didn't fold? Who? Me?
No, I'm just
fuck
asking.
It's just for vocalizing it.
It's just a question.
That's a hard label of the team.
That's a hard label for me to put on him, even though he missed the last shot. Because it's a tie game still. You could get a stop. Like, yes, God forbid
folded.
You get a stop going to overtime. I'll be honest. You're going to overtime.
He folded. Yes, by missing that, he folded. But he had 12 points in the fourth. He was by far and away
amazing.
The best player in the fourth, both sides of the ball. God forbid we got to stop.
I don't know if it was better than Jokic.
What makes it worse, he was wide open. That's what
makes
it
was
so much
open.
Worse.
That's
it's
the worst
part of
all.
Me that wishes bro didn't fall because him falling forced him to shoot. It forced him to shoot. LeBron's tactical.
He fell to the floor.
He said, oh, my God, I'm actually the most wide open I probably have been in months.
You take that shot 10 times out of 10.
I have to shoot.
Yeah,
he missed it. I knew it was over. I knew it was fucking over, man.
We'll be back live tomorrow, recapping the game twos that happen tomorrow.
I can't
Mavericks,
I'm so excited,
Clippers,
guys. I really love
Suns, Timberwolves.
All I'm gonna say is don't
play tomorrow.
Don't let the Clippers win tomorrow night. Don't do it.
The only thing that would save my sanity.
I don't know if you've seen my. I don't know if you've seen my stats.
I don't really care for them.
Riv. But you know, I think it's just. We are a podcast that provides information, so I think this information is pretty useful. In game one, the Mavericks attempted 33 threes that were considered open, wide open, or tightly contested.
I already 20, saw this.
29 so of those many. Were open or wide open. On wide open threes, on wide open threes, they went 3 for 13. On mm-hmm. open threes, they went 4 for 16.
This sounds like me when the Celtics were down 0-3.
Yo, Riv, Riv, remember when the Warriors lost to the Lakers last year because you guys couldn't hit open shots?
Yes.
Right? Like, I mean, that's just what happens, right? Even though they're wide open, you could be open for an entire series, but if you don't make them, obviously, you can't
win. It sounds to me like all the guys you were praising – when that weak ass schedule was coming out towards the end of the year, couldn't hit shots game one. That's what all it sounds
like. I just
like.
Want you to keep the same all energy, right. Riff.
Last question. Who choked more, Anthony Davis or LeBron James? The answer's fucking easy.
It's obviously
it's
AD.
It's easy.
It's easily AD. He didn't
score. On the last shot, it was LeBron.
Let's choke. Have dignity, Joel. You're so much better than that fucking garbage you spew.
I feel like we, if you're not going to discount what LeBron did in the fourth, we can't discount what AD did in the first half to get you guys a 60.
Bro, he had
lead.
0 and a quarter.
He did nothing. He picked up his fourth, he went to the bench, and he came back and did absolutely fucking nothing.
AD had one shot in the fourth.
Down the stretch,
he was 0 for 1.
Get one-on-one. We had to switch a 39-year-old LeBron on him.
Man, LeBron was 5 for 9. LeBron was 5 for 9 in the fourth. Nobody else made more than one field goal on the Lakers.
And he missed. He could have been 6 for 9.
I thought D'Lo hit 2.
D'Lo was 1 for 2 from the field in the fourth quarter.
He hit the corner 3 and he hit the lay.
All I know is if that was Michael Jordan, he's hitting that shot. So, he hit a shot similar to that versus the Jazz in the finals.
So who do you guys have winning tomorrow?
Mid-range.
Who do you guys have winning tomorrow out of the 3 games?
Well, I got the Mavericks tying the series up.
I think the Mavs tie it up.
Oh, I'm sure you guys do think that. I'm gonna go with the Clippers. I'm gonna go with the Wolves. I'm just gonna go with every home team because that's just seemingly what's gonna happen.
There's optimism that Kawhi might play tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, it's like somebody told you that last night, dude.
Well, it didn't make sense for him to play tomorrow.
Imagine every series gets tied 1-1 tomorrow. That's my hot take.
That's so hot, burning.
No, well, the Pacers and the Bucks play, so. It's I guess it's hot. I think Halliburton's gonna have a classic game too. All right,
what's classic? 20-11.
And I'm glad that you're wearing the Indiana Pacers colors right here, right now, Riv.
What's a classic game for Halli? I'm so curious. What is that? 20.
He's gonna have 30 tomorrow.
30 what?
He's gonna have 30.
Total
assistance. 30 points. He's gonna have 30 points tomorrow.
30 points.
Tyrese Halliburton.
How much is he gonna have?
November Tyrese Halliburton game.
I don't know, but Tyrese Halliburton is gonna have 30, and he's gonna win the game. Okay. And he's going to be the biggest reason why they win the game tomorrow.
They need it desperately.
Okay. All right. 30 and a W. That sounds like I should put it in FanDuel. 30 and a W.
Prospects, yeah.
I don't think they allow you to do picking the winner, unfortunately.
Oh, no, they don't. But the points, they do. They do.
So maybe I'll go for the more vibes. I don't know. Halli, he looks like an under guy to me. I don't know.
Okay. You know, I want you to go do what you do. You know, I know you're not an under guy. I want you to do what you do.
Get a triple single, bro. Like, I don't. Do you understand how bad that is?
Do you understand that he has that mentality in his head that he's not gonna let that shit happen twice?
He didn't even take shots, bro. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, listen, man. God bless. I got Minnesota winning, man. We're gonna go 2-0 for the data, man. We here.
We'll be back tomorrow after all the games finish. So if you guys enjoyed this stream, we'll be back tomorrow on Playback. If you're watching this on YouTube, we go live on Playback and then post this on YouTube. So if you guys want to catch us live, then join our Playback. The link will be in the description. Thank you guys for watching, and we'll see you guys next time.